Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome, I am Overseer Paulette, and we are in our third week, I believe, of, fourth week of our ordination preparation. I don't know why I don't hear it coming through on my phone. Okay. I should hear it on my phone. Can you hear me, Pastor Taya?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right. Well, we're really excited about today. Today we will go into an in-depth look at gifts and callings and the offices that you are being ordained into. We want to look into some specifics, Bishop and Pastor Tan and Pastor Marlette went over briefly some summary information as it related to the different offices, and we're going to get a little bit more specific by looking at the offices directly related to what you are going to be elevated into. So this is a wonderful time for you to ask questions, jot them down, text them, email them to me, so that we're able to answer directly your questions as it relates to you and the AEN ordination. I am going to today start with a little description of the AEN. Is Bishop on the line or Pastor Hooks?
Bishop should be on the line.
Okay. What I wanted to do was to share with you, some know and some don't know, some of the statistics about AEN. So I wanted to start with prayer.
I'm sorry, Overseer. I'm sorry. Bishop said to unmute him. I don't know what that means, but unmute him.
Okay. Is Pastor Steph on the line? We are trying to find a man to open us up in prayer.
Bishop is on the line. Overseer, Bishop is on the line. He said unmute him.
Yeah, I'm
He's
unmuted.
All right. You can open us up in prayer.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for the candidates. We thank you for this process. God, we just want to say that we love you. We thank you for this glorious day, O God. We thank you for what you are doing in the lives of these wonderful individuals. We thank you for the overseer, O God. We just thank you for the AEN, O God, that just believes, Heavenly Father, that you have called these candidates, oh God, during this time, oh God, for a special work that you have for them, oh God. I thank you for their process, oh God. I thank you that as they are answering questions to Heavenly Father and doing the paperwork, that they come to see another side of who they are in you. So thank you for elevating them, oh God. Thank you for protecting their families, oh God. Thank you for showing them that you are their provider, and there is none like you, Heavenly Father. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for what's about to happen today, even online, oh God, as individuals will tune in, oh God, and begin to change their lives. And so, Father, have thine own way in this wonderful gathering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. I want to first start off by introducing you to some of the structural and direction purpose of the eight men. And Bishop, whoever's on the line that can assist me, I don't know the complete history. However, I do know that it was established under the vision of Apostle Dr. Shawnette Houghton, and she is the ruling prelate of this organization. And under this vision is the coming together of world people, different religions, nations, tongues, races, denominations, all coming together in a oneness in Christ. And one of the heart of this organization, and the AEN stands for Apostolic Ecumenical Network. And each one of those words have a definition that together is the vision and the heart and mission of this organization. Bishop, do you happen to know what they are?
No, what is?
Apostolic Ecumenical Network.
Right. And tell me what your question was, because your definition was very clear.
What each one of those letters stand for.
Okay. What they stand for. Oh, the way you asked. Okay, I got it. So the Apostolic Ecumenical Network, so the AEN, as we call it, well, first of all, the AEN had a longer name, the Apostolic Ecumenical Network of Kingdom Churches, Communities. It was long. And I think this is God's grace. It got shortened to the AEN. But the Apostolic, because we are under an apostle who believes that the body of Christ needs to be one. The story goes that she opens up a phone book, and the Lord told her to look at all the different denominations in the phone book. And just kind of like, my God, there were so many of them. And yet, we all have this tenet of some, and yet we claim to be Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Apostolic. And so the vision of the AEN, the Apostolic, as an apostle, the definition of an apostle in the Greek is a messenger who has been given a special assignment. And so when we are using apostolic, when laborers for Christ uses apostolic, we are identifying that God has given a special assignment to Apostle Dr. Shawnette Houghton. A special message, whereas through this apostolic order, through the AEN, there is a desire to unite the different denominations under one faith. Now, that would be phase one. Phase two of this would be for us not to just get comfortable with those who call themselves Christian, but to be prepared to be able to minister and interact with other individuals of other faiths. What am I saying? Other faiths such as the Sikh faith, or the Buddhist, or the Hindu, or Islam. We should be prepared to be able to have conversations and allow our lives, because we all believe in something, and to argue denomination is a waste of time. But if we are living the life, there should be something about our lives apostolically that would allow other faiths to want to question. And this isn't to say that we turn our back on the faith. That's not what we're saying. But what we're saying is that we are so persuaded through the gospel of Jesus Christ that we can have this conversation with the people all over the world. And so you'll see the globe as one of our symbols that says there is a common thread that unites us all, and that's the water. Now, however they interpret water, that's on them. But we interpret water to be the flow of the Holy Spirit. We interpret the water to be the water of the Word. You get the point. So that's the apostolic part. And then, of course, the ecumenical. The ecumenical is the bringing together of the other faiths ecumenically. And, you know, you can look that up. The use of Christians of different denominations. And so what you will see in the network is that we not only, I mean, there's people in this network from all types of churches and backgrounds, Catholic, Methodist, Pentecostal. There's people that interact in the Baptist, Salem. I mean, the whole goal is to be able to come together ecumenically and embrace, you know, the Lord Jesus together, learn from one another, interact with one another, and that's where you get the network from. And so the two key words, or the three key words there, would be the apostolic ecumenical network and things of that nature. And so this is the phase that you are definitely a part of because I think some of you on the phone at this moment or even going through the process, you are part of other ministries. And so you still have a responsibility to your house, and we're not asking you to come away from your house, but what we're saying is collectively, as we unite in God's kingdom, we can affect the world. And so for what your house cannot cover, in this apostolic order, Apostle Shawnette covers. And so that's the AEN.
Amen. Amen. And just for people's complete information, I should be talking. Yes. That ecumenical means a unity, a coming together of those that are different, but a coming together under one cause, and that cause is Jesus Christ. And so this is the organization, the assembly of churches and ministries under which you are being ordained, consecrated, or licensed.
I was going to say, I want to say that's important as well, the difference between churches, ministries, faith-based organizations, and Christian individuals. No, I was just adding to what you were saying.
Amen. 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 So we didn't want anybody to feel, well, I don't have a ministry or I don't have, you know, I don't have a church that I run, but I want to be a part of this assembly. And those, all of those are inclusive of all people. And so as a bishop says, individual Christians, individual people that want to associate with this unity can do so. Because even before we were saying it's not necessarily Christians. You know, they may be Muslims or Buddhists or whoever. They are being embraced in this network. But what this network is putting forth is the unity under Jesus Christ. We do not compromise that in any way. And so the importance of that for you is to know that once this ministry has laid hands on you in imparting the gift of the office to you during your ordination, consecration, and licensing, that this ministry stands behind you forever. So it is not a one-time deal and then it's done. But it is an ongoing process of learning, of teaching, of ministry opportunities, of enlightenment, of sharing, of fellowship. That's what the AEN is providing for you as a church, as an individual, as a ministry, as an ordained and licensed member. And so when you go through your process oftentimes at the last day and we're in the room in our training, they say, okay, what's next? Now that this happens, what's next? Well, the next thing is you have become a part of the network. Now, you're not a member unless you choose to join, which that joining is definitely encouraged. But because you have been ordained and consecrated by this organization, there is additional follow-up that will follow you throughout your ministry. And so there is a renewal process that comes up. And all these things we'll go into more detail later on, but just so that you know, there are opportunities that become available that are shared on a monthly basis. And most people are familiar with this, but those who are not really need to take full advantage of Minister Sherita's monthly ministry opportunity letter. It is massive because that's the kind of organization you are connected to at this point. And so there's something for everybody. You don't have to be involved in everything that you see, but everything that is going on is presented to you so that if you see that there is something that's in line with your ministry or your church's ministry or some opportunity that you would like to become involved in, it is an open-ended invitation on a monthly basis for you to come and share. Some of the information that is distributed is information for events and functions that are mandatory for you. They are the mandatory follow-up, ministry accountability. Are you growing in your faith? Are you learning more? Are you staying updated? Are you staying connected? It's an accountability system that the AEN has committed itself to you on your behalf. And so it is there for you. It doesn't just do it and then drop you on that Saturday night after the banquet and that's it. Absolutely not. One of the things, and we'll go into more detail with it on that, will be is your accountability partner and that accountability process and what it is going to look like. And so these are relationships, spiritual relationships, that you are forming now that will bring you strength. It'll bring guidance. It'll bring direction, correction, accountability, encouragement, comfort, support to you as you grow as your ministry grows. So oftentimes what happens as it relates to ordination is the AEN is available because it has established a standard and a process for ordaining leaders into the kingdom of Christ and consecrating them into different positions that they have been called to. And because of this, there is oftentimes church leaders who will recommend different individuals to the AEN's ordination process. Some of you are of that category. And so you have a leader, a pastor, or any apostle, but a leader that has recommended you for elevation. And yes, under that auspices, your church leader is aware of what this ministry will present to you to prepare you for the office that they are requesting you be ordained into. And so as a result of that, certain offices, As Bishop went through the offices last week, your office may look a little different based on the need of your leader for that office function in your church, in your local church. There are three types of elevation. The first one is licensed. Those that are licensed ministers, they are authorized to perform communion and baptism in their local assembly, but only with an ordained officer present. And they can be ordained after successfully completing the credentialing process. Okay? Now, this process is fully detailed and outlined, and for those that have need of it, there will be a forthcoming manual where you can see the details of this. But if that's something that you are interested in, the contact source always will be, at this point, Overseer Paulette at PC Thornton, PC underscore Thornton at yahoo.com for any questions or inquiries. And so the first step is licensed. A licensed minister is a position, is one that we label as a group one. Group one, they have a different set of requirements from group two and group three. Licensed positions that are being licensed includes ministers, and under ministers, we have a couple of different types of ministers that this ministry has ordained. And I will share that with you. Ooh, thought I had it. But they include, okay, the Stephen minister. There is outreach ministers. There are theurgical ministers. And these are specializing in specific areas. Their training looks a little different because their ministry call is more specific. There is a Stephen ministry training that is a requirement of that particular office that those ministers will be required to engage in. And the theatrical ministry is those of the dance in a public worship, the rites that are prescribed for public worship. And then there are those that are deacons that are licensed, and then there are deacons that are licensed and then ordained. Again, following the preparation that is prescribed by the organization. And that preparation is very similar to the one that licensed them. There are just some slight differences in the information that has to be provided to the ministry. There are different sets of questions and studies that they have to do. Then there is the office of that is ordained. Those that have been ordained are able to, it's communion, marry, bury, and baptize, and do any and all ordinances of the church. And again, if you are being elevated under a pastor, that pastor is going to give further clarification to what your particular office will look like based on the need of your local assembly. We also have those that are what this ministry, LFC, which is Laborers for Christ ministry, requires of all sons and daughters that are consecrated. Those that are consecrated are held to a higher standard of preparation, and their garbs are very, very different. Their process is very, very different. Their requirements are very, very different. And those are the office of apostle, prophet, bishop, and overseer. Then we have the pastors. Pastors can be counseling pastors, outreach pastors, and emerging pastors. And then, just to name a few, and then there are the pastors, those that are going to pastor local churches. So each one of these categories of pastoring is a category that is very distinct and very different. Outreach pastors do not pastor within four walls. They are those that are in the highways and byways. An example of them would be, I would give the Postons that are in Nevada. They are outreach pastors. They go to prisons. There are some people that's their only ministry is ministering in prisons or in hospitals or in youth places or in, what do you call those? Shelters. And they are outreach pastors. They are counselors that are pastors. These are those that are specifically geared to the pastoral care needs in the kingdom. So before some people are connected to a church, they are connected to an organization. And say, for instance, a chaplain at a hospital would be something on that level of ministering to the pastoral need of a person that's in the hospital until they can then be planted in a church, a local church. And so each one has a different requirement. We look at all of these pastors, and then there's the emerging pastor. These are pastors that are starting out in a 4 to 5 year process that will include different levels of requirement, because these are pastors that will pastor local assemblies. And so there's a higher responsibility will rest on their shoulders, and so their preparation is more intense. There are administrative things that they must learn. There's business things that they must learn. There's legal things that they must learn. There is a mirage of things that they have to learn how to even set up and start a church. And so these emerging pastors have to go through a more rigorous requiring process than, say, for instance, an outreach pastor or a counseling pastor. However, all of the requirements and all of the standards are done keeping in mind the need of those that we are called to serve and what their needs are, and then what God has called us to do as it relates to their needs. I don't want to leave out the evangelists, and Bishop really went through the evangelists, and we have an apostolic evangelist coming, and that is a position that is not necessarily associated with a church, but rather with kingdom work, in the kind of organization of an AEN, a networking group and body of churches. And so there may be specific, I would say that Billy Graham was an apostolic evangelist. He wasn't necessarily doing it for his church, but he was doing it for whatever church came into that arena in that city. They sent their representatives there, and as he evangelized, he gave them, he was like the directional pointer for them to a local assembly that would then later feed them, disciple them, and mentor them. And so each one of these positions and then you have those that are just that are called, I don't want to say just, but that are called in their particular local assembly to do outreach. So that would be the type of individual that would have a heart for Polish in the Park that a church is given, or you know, passing out blankets at Christmas time, or baskets at Christmas time, or just going out passing out tracts, inviting people to their church. And so there's all kinds, and that's just just a very few of the things that they can do. Young people do it in their gatherings, in colleges and that sort of thing, and they speak to people in a group, a specific group, giving them information of kingdom power and availability to all people. And so we just want to make sure that as we go forth and in answering our questions, the things that are due tomorrow, that you keep these things in mind. One of the things we're going to require, and I'll just get to that a little later, but we want to make sure you keep in mind all of these things when you do your gift assessments. I did receive two gift assessments, and I know the deadline is tomorrow, but again, I was encouraging people to send them because then we can speak on them. And so the gift assessments that I received, there is a hierarchy as it relates to scoring them. And say, for instance, on one, the first four high scores was faith, giving, teaching, and pastoring. Well, that individual is being ordained as a pastor. And so the supporting gifts of teaching, giving, and faith are things that will help refine the pastoring ministry that she will have. And it gives your mission clarity and direction and focus. The other individual that had turned in, oddly enough or interestingly enough, was knowledge, teaching, and evangelism. And that person actually is being ordained as a adjutant. And that person was and is an evangelist. And so we see how that ministry mission is shifting in their ministry walk into a position of more focused and directional. So as an evangelist, as one that will help and teach and support and give and intercede, they had a very strong intercession anointing, you know, that it's now going to cover an area of a variety of ministry leaders. And so we see how doing your gift assessment, doing your personality test, will help you as well as the AEN as we review these things, give you good direction and spiritual direction and information of some of the different things that are available. I do encourage you to read it and study it for yourself, and be sure that as you do your gift assessment, you chart your top four scores so that you can see what the supporting anointings in your life look like, because they will give direction to who you're called to be. And then when you do, what has God called you to do and be in this season? Then you have a direction to that. You can see that because you can see that's the gift that's been working inside of you all along. And even you recognize that as you answered the questions, you realize some of the things that brought you joy, some of the things that you had absolutely no connection to at all. We had a lot of zeros under that talent and that musical instrument giving. But some things you know, even though, Bishop, I know you wanted to, but it's, you know, we don't have it. You know, but however, we do have the heart of worship. Whether we have the skill of the instrument or not is, you know, debatable.
That's right.
However,
that's right.
Yes, thank God. Except, yes. So I just wanted to be sure that as we look at each one of the offices that are being people are being elevated into, that they will understand how it has a general look, all right? It definitely has characteristics that are Bible-based, but it is, not that it's flexible, but it is to meet the need of where you are locally. We have those that are being ordained as elders, and these are held to a higher standard, and it's part of the assignment and the elevation into that office is one of age and experience. It is one that has to be documented in lifestyle change. It is one that has to have been proven to have grown and matured. And so these are things that you need to actually rejoice and be thankful unto God that he has done this and that he has made it known and that he wants to make you known and to elevate you into these positions because you had been faithful over a few things and now he's giving you more to be faithful over and accountable to and for his kingdom. There is a deacon's training and a ministry training that is at least 2 years. This is to go from licensed to ordained, and part of it does include some yearly conferences that this organization is aware of. We're not necessarily connected to them, but we are aware of them. And in years past, part of what was necessary for continue it as they call them CEUs when it's in your college and your professional life, but in your spiritual life, you know, they were additional course classes, and that was part of what you could get at the sexual and relational healing retreat. But now they're still available as you go through the process of the freedom clinics, the healing clinics that are held monthly every month on second Saturday at 10 o'clock at Bethany Union Church. These are things that are out there for your training, out there for your for information, for enlightenment, for your spiritual growth and development. The CCTI is on Mondays. And praise the Lord for the ministry vision of Apostle. These things are now archived on Blog Talk Radio. And when you haven't been there, you can go back and get all of the past studies and training and do the homework and turn it in and be faithful to the cost because this is not free. And so for the CCTI, it is $45, and we need to be found faithful in paying that because we are being blessed by the kingdom. And God said, you know, would a man rob God? And we can say, well, not in tithes, no, but in offering and in accountability. Give honor to whom honor is due. And so we want to make sure that we do that. And these are all things that as ordained leaders, you need to be aware of, and you need to have established in your mind. Now, one thing I will say about ordained and licensed individuals, the information that we have given to you is based on the Illinois. So if you are not in the state of Illinois, if you are not functioning under your ministry in the state of Illinois, it is imperative that you find out what your state will require. And this is something that the AEN can do for you, but you need to inform us, and again, PC_Thornton, and we will try to ascertain that information for you. These are some of the benefits of being a member of the AEN. And so as a result, your license, it does not have to be, there's not a requirement for ministers to register in the state of Illinois. There is no requirement for registering that. So then we want to go to, is Minister Sherita on the line? 5, 6, 7. Let me see. Let me open you up. We want to every week give Minister Sherita 5, 6, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, emailed to you. If you have not received some of this information, and you should have received all of this information, you need to write down and to text me or email me any forms that you have not received. Minister Sherita?
Yes.
Yes. Can you let them know what you have emailed to them this week?
Yes. The email that went out this week was just a reminder about the different requirements that are due on tomorrow. And those requirements are the personality test, which is found on www.16personalities.com. And you can actually print those results, save your profile if you haven't already, and then email to Overseer. The GIF assessment form, which is due, which the attachment for that form was on the email. And then your statement of faith and your conversion statement. And that can actually be typed or handwritten legibly. And that's what went out on this week. And just look for, you know, the reminder emails before the beginning of the week to check what updates are given.
And Minister Sherita also attached to that email this week the schedule of the accountability subjects that are to be discussed on a weekly basis.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yes. Amen. Amen. So at this point, everybody should have turned in their ordination application. Your ordination application, you have a, let me not try to guess it. I'm going to go down that list. Your personality test, as she said, your conversion statement. You should be turning these things in. Your mission and your vision statement, how your ministry will look, what ministry God has called you to, and what is this calling based on scripturally? How is this calling scripturally based? In other words, what scriptural support do you have for the qualifications for what God has called you in this season? This written information, I know it says due on the 15th, but let's not wait till the last minute because you have a lot of things that are due by the end of the month, and you don't want to run short and not get to those things. Yes. Any questions or comments? There is more information for me to give to you as it relates to your ordination. And one of the things that we will do in our weekly meeting is we will go over some of the other items, the vision and mission, the eight prayer watches, the prayer posture, the prayer shawl. These are things that you are required to have, and Elder Yvette is going to go over the use and the history behind the prayer shawl and the seven mountains. There are some discussions that we are going to have that will be a part of your training as leaders in different areas of how you will lead and be able to have conversation with those people you come in contact with. All of these teachings, all of this training, all of this homework, all of this paperwork is so that you can articulate and share with other people as you go out in ministry. And sometimes the best way to do that is to start by writing it down. And then when you come across someone that's a Buddha or a Jehovah's Witness or of another denomination, you can defend your faith, not by arguing or not by, you know, browbeating or beating with the Bible, but by knowing what the Bible says about the various terms and the various processes that God has established, and being able to articulate those things to people, not like scholars and you know, professors, but like individuals that are able to defend their faith from their heart, and knowing what these things are, being fully persuaded yourself. Because sometimes when you sit down to do this, you may not be fully persuaded, but when by the time you're finished, you know what you believe in. You understand, I know that this is what God is calling me to be. I you know, I've looked at the different signs that are revealed in the gift assessment. That does passion. That's a fire that I have for that. And then you become convinced, and that's how you will impact the world, with your passion. And so you don't want your passion to be searching for words. Well, you know, I never thought about that. Oh, I don't know quite how to put that. You will have already put it in the Spirit has given you a way to put it in words and how to present it and to prepare it and distribute it, not so much distribute it, but just to share it with people. So I encourage for you to do your paperwork, but don't do it begrudgingly. And so we're going to get to that actually, that word willful and prayerful, which is a part of what the homework was. Are there any questions or comments or concerns or inquiries that you would like to make? Everybody quiet. That's okay. If you're trying to speak and we're not getting it, it could be that I have not unmuted you. And I am unmuting everybody now so that we can have dialogue when necessary. I just encourage you to mute your phones if you're not ready to talk or have need to talk. So everybody that's on the line currently now has been made live, and you may, if you speak, we will hear it. Amen, amen, and amen. All right. So one of the things that you were required to do, and we prepared a list so that people could be more focused and they didn't have to panic about it, as it relates to in your accountability partner paperwork, there was a list of characteristics and elements that are involved in this accountability process. Now, this accountability process, I just want to share this, is something that is should be ongoing. This is establishing a spiritual friendship, a spiritual connection, not girlfriend. This is a spiritual connection of accountability, okay? And these are the characters that these are the character traits that should govern your behavior and your mindset and even your warfare as it relates to your accountability partner, as an accountability partner and as someone with an accountability partner. So this evening, presenting joyful and prayerful will be Pastor Tan and Minister Bethel. And they have 5 minutes together. And next will be surrender to the process, Philippians 4:5-7. That will be Pastor Danielle and Evangelist Roberta. And so Minister Danielle and Minister Bethel and Pastor Tan, 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, we will give you the floor or the phone.
Okay. All right. Good evening, everyone. This is Pastor Tan. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, coming from the New International Version. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, with joyful means to be light-hearted in good spirit, to be merry. And in the King James Version, it states rejoice always, which means to have a joyful attitude in all things. Now, Overseer Paulette just mentioned not to do the paperwork assignment grudgingly. So, therefore, if you do things grudgingly, then you will miss the different opportunities that are out there for you. So we're asking you to have a joyful attitude in doing the assignment that God has called you to do. Joy comes from the Spirit of God, and joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And that is Galatians 5:22-23. And because we are of God and we belong to God, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, and therefore the fruit of joy should be dwelling within us as well. So I would give an example of being joyful in all things, which means that no matter what your circumstances may be or whatever you're going through, you will have joy. So Romans 14:17 tells us that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So as we're going through the process and being accountable to one another, being joyful plays a great and wonderful part in that. Because if you are being accountable to a person and you're always negative and talking about the negative things that you're going through, then they're looking at, but we're serving a God who we say reigns victoriously, but you are always miserable. So with that joyful part as well is stating that we have joy in all that Jesus Christ has done for us. He has reconciled us or restored us back to God, and our joy also comes into Jesus Christ redeemed or being our redeemer. So that's where our joy lies and our joy comes from within. And I'm not going to take up all of our 5 minutes. I will turn it over to my to the candidate to go over not only joyful, because the scripture for or rejoice evermore, prayer, and giving of thanks and being thankful in all things. Minister Bethel.
Amen.
Amen. Good job, AP.
Thank you.
Amen. Encourage one another. Amen.
Amen. So we have prayer without ceasing, which is the 17th verse. Just praying without ceasing, one of the definitions of that in the Greek is worship. And I found it very interesting that we are to pray without ceasing and not necessarily having the, you know, fold your hands, bend down, close your eyes, however, whatever your normal posture of prayer is, because we have jobs and we have things to do and we can't stay in one place for 48 hours. Anybody can do it for 24. But to have the mentality of praying without ceasing, and that's just conversation with God. Your lifestyle is worship. How you live, the things you do can be your form of communication with God. So encouraging each other to just have a continual conversation with God, whether you're walking down the street, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, no matter where you are, but your lifestyle, your conversation, your communication, it's all worship and it's all prayer and it's all acceptable to God. So it's easy to do prayer without ceasing, because sometimes we can take that scripture and some may say, well, how can you, you know, just pray all the time, 24/7? Well, this lets us know, when you take it out of the posture point of view and just know that it's your continual communing, your continual lifestyle to God, that's your praying without ceasing, that's your worship. And then it goes into the 18th verse, which says, "In everything to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And if I can just read it in the Amplified Version, it says, "Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will." And one of the things that stuck out to me, and that is that when you pray, when you have joy, rejoice at all times, and when you pray without ceasing, then it can be easy to be thankful in everything. It's easy
Amen.
To do that when you combine those two. So joy and prayer equals thankfulness, and when you do all those, it can be easy. It's not tasking, and we can do it because it is the will of God concerning us. And will actually means, in the Greek, it says that it is what God wishes or has determined shall be done. So his will has already been determined that this is what we shall do, not that we should do it or may do it, but that we shall do it. So it can be easy because it is the will of God for us to do. Amen.
Amen. Great job.
Amen.
Amen. You touch on some great points. And some great points that I was going to touch on, but you have closed it out very well. I'm good.
Amen.
Amen.
Overseer Paulette?
Yes.
May I just add, and that was a great job for both of you guys, Pastor Chan and Pastor Bethel.
Yes.
But when you're looking at these verses as it relates to the whole accountability, think about even deeper, because you've expounded on the scripture and explained it excellently, but how is that affecting you in your walk in this process when you reflect on that scripture? Are you finding, and not only for you but for the other candidates as well as accountability partners on the line, because we want both parties to have growth and development in this relationship and be nurtured in the relationship. So I'm wondering if this, when you reflect on that particular scripture, can you share if the scripture says something specific to you about your process or personally, you know, anything that you found going through the process, harder to pray, a struggle to rejoice, or, you know, maybe abounding with thanksgiving. I don't know what. I'm not trying to make it negative. I'm just saying not only what the scripture says, but what is that scripture saying to you?
And
as it relates to this process of elevation.
Okay. Well, for me, it definitely is encouraging. Not necessarily a negative person, and for other accountability partners too. I look at it as a privilege and a pleasure to have someone that you're accountable to and to have someone that you are accountable for. So for me, to be accountable to Pastor Tan. It's a privilege, and I find myself thankful and definitely grateful to that, because there's not, especially in this process, because you can get lax, you can get lazy, the whole thing can become overwhelming. Whatever your day-to-day tasks are, it can just sometimes put you in a place. So for me, the scripture spoke out to have the mindset of being thankful, to have the mindset to rejoice in everything, rejoice in doing the paperwork, rejoice in the fact that you're getting ordained in the middle of planning your wedding, rejoice in all.
Yep. Exactly. And not only that, also in the process, you know, with accountability. You know, accountability meaning to be responsible. But I found another synonym that, you know, rang to me was answerability, you know, to have someone to answer to. And so, yes, I'm her accountability partner through this process, but I am being held accountable too, you know, with her as well. I'm accountable to her as well, and I'm answering to her as well, you know. So we find ourselves, you know, asking about, you know, different things about each other's day and things of that nature. And finding myself to, you know, be joyful in this process and not go in grudgingly and say, oh, well, you know, I just got to call my, you know, candidate. No, I have joy with calling her. And I have a joyful attitude with saying, you know, Minister Bethel, how was your day? And not only that, praying without ceasing, praying also for her in this process and without ceasing, and knowing that she have other big things that's coming up in her life, like she said, planning the wedding and some things and stumbling blocks and circumstances that can come with that, praying for that as well, you know. So,
Amen. Okay, and we do. We want to. Part of the instructions is what happens if this element that should be a characteristic of the accountability process, what happens if it's missing or if it's neglected, as well as what are the benefits if it is properly executed. And so we're going to go to Evangelist Roberta and Pastor Danielle under For Surrendered to the Process, Philippians 4, 5 through 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay, lady. Good evening, everyone. Surrendering to the process, I want to read the scripture from the Amplified, Philippians 4, 5 through 7. I've read it in several different versions, but I like this one best. Beginning at verse 5, chapter 4, let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so, fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So as I thought about surrendered to the process, I was thinking, my mind was just going. And then finally I said, okay, surrender to the process. and looking at Paul, his processes that he was going through. Well, I thought about, am I or are we surrendered to this process that we're in right now, preparing for the ordination, surrendering to, or are we surrendered to our salvation walk? Are we surrendered to God's process for us? So all of those questions came up. Are we surrendered to the process of being accountable to someone and being accountable for someone? So in all of that, we have to be gentle in our being accountable for someone. We have to show graciousness. Are we doing that? Are we forbearing with them in their process and what they're going through? Are we anxious? Because if you get anxious, you can sometimes you can become agitated if you get anxious about something. Are we entreating God for the person that we are accountable for, and not only entreating God for the person that we're accountable for, but are we even entreating God for our other brothers and sisters that are going through the same process at this time? Pastor Danielle, you can come in at any time. So I was just asking myself the question, you know, am I really surrendered to the process? Because in going through this process, I have found myself getting a little, feeling a little overcome, but not to the point that I wasn't concerned about the individual that I was accountable for. Verse 7 says, and God's peace. So I thought about peace. I really couldn't come up with, I looked at the definitions that they were given for peace, which transcends our understanding. I really could not quite get it. But when I felt overwhelmed, I just said, okay, I'm going to take a break, Lord, and I'm just going to sit and meditate on you. Then I can go further. I know if I meditate on him, just get quiet, then he will quiet my spirit, calm me down, and I can go a little further. So that's what I found from this passage. Are we really surrendered to the process that we're going through? Are we finding it difficult? Are we allowing it to get us anxious? Too anxious? Is our mind how can I say it? Perceiving from Holy Spirit the understanding of what the answers and the literature that we have to complete. Are we allowing Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in our answers and our studying? That's what I have.
Amen. Pastor Danielle?
Yes, ma'am. In reading this particular scripture in Philippians 4, It was a reminder for me because I have took the approach of this process as another task, if I could be honest, on my to-do list, something that I needed to get done. And I haven't looked at it from a God standpoint. The deadlines, speaking with my accountability partner, reading the scriptures, all that in details with the process of being ordained. And so as I began to read the scripture, it told me to be careful for nothing. I'm sorry, it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. In other words, that's self-control. Do I have enough self-control to say when I have extended the grace of God and I need to step back and take a break and then come back at it again? It's also when it tells me, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. To have a prayerful attitude during this process and not getting ahead of God, asking him to direct me and guide me through the process. Also, when it talks about the peace of God, having peace, the peace of God, knowing that he brought me to this process to bring me through it. And if he brought me to it, I know that I have the grace to finish what he has put on my plate instead of looking at it from a perspective of another task or to cross off, this is what my to-do list is today. I need to look at it from a God perspective and enjoy the process instead of looking at it again as another task and being frustrated. Amen.
Thank you for keeping it real. Amen.
Amen. And prayerfully, that accountability relationship will help trigger some of those overcoming moments for us. You know, it is like realign us back to the word, like, wow, this is why are we supposed to be doing this? And sometimes if you feel like you are alone, it's so much easier to not surrender to the process than to realize that you're not alone, that others are in this with you, but not just others, but your accountability partner's job is to remind you that God is and that this is God's process. This isn't apostles or the AEN or the LFC. This is what God has ordained. This is not something someone chose you to do. This is something that God has chosen for you to do. And so I appreciate your sharing. I appreciate Evangelist Roberta because she's coming from two directions in one season. So she is an accountability partner, and she has an accountability partner. And so that is a stronger place of responsibility because she must respond, and yet she is being responded to. And so it does cause you to question. But what I would like for us to get out of this as we question it is to make sure that element is not neglected in your accountability relationship, that you in that relationship you will see the prayerful as the worship. You know, if I say, you know, I'm tired of this, then my accountability partner needs to say, but you know what? God is able to make unweary our soul. You know, something that gives a worship back to God. Because too often we are consumed with the cares of this world. And in this process, we need to now to give ourselves over to kingdom living, which is totally different. And as leaders, you're going to have to set those things aside when the people you serve have need of you. And so this is just exercising your faith, exercising your power to crucify your flesh and then give total attention to those things that God would have you do, and then trusting God to take care of it for you. And that's part of the job, of the responsibility of accountability that we are praying will be established with you and your accountability partner. Now, next week, do we have any questions, comments, additions, concerns? Amazing job of transparency, of study, of presentation, of obedience. And I just pray that as we continue, you don't neglect that element nor the other elements. And just because you weren't assigned the other elements, that does not mean they should not also be incorporated in your relationship with your accountability partner. Next week, we will have non-judgmental, and that's Evangelist Hosey and Evangelist Julia. And then we will have active listeners, and that's Minister Pat and Brother Dominic. And that's Minister Pat, Brother Dominic, and Evangelist Hosey and Evangelist Julia. Evangelist Hosey, Evangelist Julia, coming from Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Minister Pat, Brother Dominic, coming from James 1 and 19. Active listeners. Now, do we have Pastor Jeff on the line?
Hello? Yes.
Yes, sir. We will ask you to close us out for the evening.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go. Yo, pray.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you right now to say thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you honor for who you are, Lord, and just what you're doing through each and every individual on the line and outside of the line, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this establishment of AEN, Lord, of the ordination that you have ordained, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, in this season and this time and this place, Lord, for the building up of your kingdom, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. We just thank you for every individual on the line, every family that's represented and connected, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you will be with them through the process, oh, Heavenly Father, of balancing the schedules and the jobs, families, children, and just financially, oh, Heavenly Father, meeting the need, Lord, of different responsibilities that have to be met, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you just give them guidance and wisdom, oh, Heavenly Father, through the ordinees and then the accountability partners, Heavenly Father. And then the ones that are, we thank you for the ones that are overseeing us, oh, Heavenly Father, in the process, Lord. You have used them to set up a process such as this, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. And we just thank you and we just bless you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you be with us now as we leave the line and throughout the end of this week, oh, Heavenly Father, and we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be blessed.
Amen.
Be blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Good night. Good night, saints.
Good night.